Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the issue today, the subject, should Christians drink alcoholic beverages? We've been talking about that now, covering scripture after scripture after scripture. We're going to wrap up the last half of this broadcast with an intense focus on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God with scriptures in relationship to it.
Amen.
Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you've got questions about it, if you disagree with what I'm saying, if you have questions about alcoholic beverages and the life of a Christian, love to hear from you. You don't have to tell us your name, address, or telephone number. Just to enjoy, we would enjoy and appreciate your questions.
Amen.
For the benefit and the edification of the other listeners that may be thinking some of the same things or asking some of the same questions, but not calling in. The telephone is 831-0917. I'm talking with Pastor Glenn Davis today. Pastor Davis and I have the joy of sharing the microphone on Fridays.
Amen.
As we talk about biblical issues, biblical questions that multitudes have asked. One of these Fridays, Pastor, we're going to just simply open the mic with biblical questions.
Amen.
Let people
Amen.
Just call in. Well, what question do you have about the Bible?
Amen.
In fact, perhaps we need to do that next Friday.
I think that'll be
opening
great.
Opening the mic and let people call in, have your biblical questions ready, and let's talk about it on next Friday about what does the Bible say about different issues or questions you might ask. Is it right or is it wrong? Or what does the Bible say about this, that, or the other? I enjoy the dialogue and the discussion. I enjoy the question and answer process. I enjoy sharing answers with people asking the questions. And ladies and gentlemen, don't you dare think I've got all of the answers. I recall a number of years ago, back in the 1980s, I was doing a broadcast on the radio each and every day for an hour in drive time each afternoon, and in doing so, people would call in and ask questions. One man called in and asked a question. He said, well, you're a doctor. You have your credentials. You can answer this question. Where do you find so-and-so? And he gave me a quote. I said, I have no earthly idea. I've never heard it in my life. And so, I said, I'll research it for you. Call back on the air tomorrow and I'll tell you. He called back the next day and I said, the quote you gave is not found any place in the scripture. It's part of your Masonic oath that you've taken and you've forgotten your oath. I said, are you a Mason? He said, yes, sir. And I said, you ought not to be, but it comes right out of your Masonic oath is where it's coming from. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is we would love to do that in future broadcasts. I believe that it would be a blessing and a benefit to our listeners. But,
Amen.
Pastor, there are a lot of people that will say that it's okay for a Christian to drink, okay for a pastor to drink. But listen, let me give a scripture, Pastor, and I'll read this for our listening audience. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8 and following, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle or the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, and they and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and
all
between
right.
clean and unclean.
Amen.
And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord had spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And some will say, well, Pastor, some will say, well, you know, that's talking about, and that's in the Old Testament. The principle applies. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a verse in the scripture that says, thou shalt not drink Bud Dummer or Miller Lowlife.
Amen.
There's not a passage in the scripture that says, thou shalt not drink Jack Daniels. But, ladies and gentlemen, the principle is found throughout all of the Scripture. So the deception is, Pastor, the deception that people have today, even as Christians, is that somehow, some way, because it is not definitively, thou shalt not, somehow, some way, there's the mindset that I can do it.
Amen.
As I said earlier in the broadcast, there's not a Scripture that says, thou shalt not beat your wife. But we know that that is something that is absolutely sin and wrong. But yet we have the mindset today, Pastor, that we're living in grace, and so the law doesn't apply. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about the letter of the law, Old Testament. Right? I'm talking about the principles in the Scripture about living a dissipated life rather than living a separated life, separated unto God and separated from the world.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor, well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, even the Apostle Paul said when he looked at the law, he said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient.
Yes.
All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Yes, absolutely.
Know this, amen. Everything that the world is doing because it is permissible is not always good for a Christian.
Absolutely.
We have to learn how to separate ourselves from that. As you just got finished saying, God commanded, and that was the command to the priests in Leviticus 8.
That's right.
About learning how to separate,
yes.
Amen, holy from unholy, clean from unclean.
Absolutely.
Amen. In other words, your mind has got to be focused on God all the time. Because now, amen, the Bible tells us, amen, that your body is a temple, amen, for the Holy Spirit, amen, which belongs to God, amen, and you don't belong to yourself because you were bought with a price.
Bought with a price,
amen.
Absolutely.
You belong to Christ now.
We're
so
no
now tell me
own.
This. I would like to know, Dr. Youngblood, because I read, amen, even I got a reference verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. Is there ever a time that a Christian is not supposed to be spiritual?
None.
I don't
never,
understand
never.
That.
Not whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's in the church, whether it's at home.
Amen.
It is something that our life, our walk, our talk, our action, our activity should always reflect the Lordship of Jesus Christ in and through in our lives.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
Never a time when we should be bifurcating our life.
Amen. So then how? What does the Bible say? Does it condone or condemn, amen, Christians in drinking alcoholic beverages?
It totally condemns it. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 1 is a definitive statement about drinking alcoholic beverages and what the Scripture says we ought to do. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 1, wine, that's the word wine, there's the word yanin, which is absolutely fermented drink. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink, that is the word there for sikar, which also is a fermented beverage. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In fact, whosoever is deceived thereby is a fool, if you put it in the Youngblood terminology, simply because there's a mindset somehow, some way that you can drink and it's all right.
Amen.
It is deceiving, deceptive. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or the comment, please.
Yeah, do you all believe that Jesus drank wine at the wedding in Cana?
Amen.
Jesus created the wine in the second chapter of John, John chapter 2. That was his first miracle. But the word
right.
is not fermented beverage. Listen very carefully, and this, Kevin, not just for you, but for all of our listeners. What makes grape juice fermented? It is the decaying fermenting bacterial process. Question begs to be asked and must be answered. Would Jesus take anything into his body, because Jesus is God, Jesus is high, holy, harmless, and undefiled, Jesus is separate from sinners, Jesus Christ is without sin, Jesus Christ had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin, and yet yeast is represented in the Scripture as being sin, and sin, i.e. yeast, bacteria, is what causes the grape juice to ferment and become alcoholic beverage. So the question is, would Jesus put anything in his body as being high, holy, undefiled, and separate from sinners? Would Jesus put anything in his body that would be considered sin? And the answer is no. So we must go back and ask the question then, what did he create when he turned the water into wine? He turned it into ornas, which is the purest grape juice that could be gotten. They were talking about that in the discussion about most of those that give a celebration like that will wait until everybody has been drinking all of the sorry stuff, and then Jesus brought in the good stuff, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, first. May I remind us, Jesus did not, no, sir, he did not drink alcoholic beverages.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. So that really was going to be my next question, but I'm so glad that this caller, amen, called in with that, because that is something that really needs to be clarified amongst, amen, the Christian, amen, world, the believing world on today, to know and understand, amen, that Christ is holy, high, undefiled, and separate from sinners.
Amen.
He doesn't think like we think. He doesn't act like we act. In fact, if we go to Isaiah 55, even God said in that, amen, chapter of Scripture, amen, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Mm-hmm. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my thoughts and ways above your thoughts and ways.
Absolutely.
So we cannot put God in the same frame with us, thinking that because we think that taking a drink or drinking wine or any other beverage is permissible, that God himself or Christ Jesus themselves would also partake of the same.
Yes, it is a shame, ladies and gentlemen, that we have those in the Christian community. In fact, Pastor, I don't mind saying this publicly on this broadcast today. I am embarrassed and ashamed of any pastor of any denomination that will stand in the pulpit and preach and teach the truth of the Word of God and bifurcate the truth of alcoholic beverages. We have a ton of pastors today that will go out and get drunk during the week, think nothing about it, and then stand and preach the purity of the Word of God on Sunday. That is a disdain in the nostrils of God. That
Amen.
Is absolutely a stench in the nostrils of God. That is absolutely unacceptable biblically for anybody to do that.
Amen.
And how can a pastor sit in conference and in counseling with families where they have had drunkenness, and as a result of the drunkenness, the wife's been beaten, the family's going without food, clothing, and shelter, and the family's in a dissipated condition because of alcoholic beverage? How does that pastor sit in the conference and counseling with a family and condemn that alcoholic beverage when he himself is participating? It's an impossibility to do so. It's a fake. It's a farce. It is illegitimate for any pulpit, and it's illegitimate for any Christian to think that it's okay. In fact, multitude would go to the Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And they use the term, be not drunk with wine. We can drink, but not in excess. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what Ephesians 5:18 is saying. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is debauchery. The word for excess in translation from the Greek New Testament is debauchery.
Amen.
Do not be drunk with wine wherein is debauchery.
Amen.
And there are a lot of Christians today that are living debauched lives as a result of drunkenness.
Amen.
And I go back, Pastor, there are a lot of Christians that say, well, I drink a little toddy, I drink a little Bud Dummer and Miller Low Life. I just don't get down in the ditch drunk. That is simply trying to appease your own conscience with
Amen.
The fact that you're okay before God. And yet the Bible says it is the fool that participates in strong drink and that which is raging.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you call, participate in the dialogue and discussion today. Very important subject. Pastor, before we go further with your questions, this is an article that I'm reading. Title of the portion is it is a sin to cause another person to stumble into alcohol addiction. The question that is asked, if a mature Christian's freedom causes a person to fall headlong into sin, then it's wrong. This is not a warning for people who walk in grace. Listen, here's a person, this is a preacher, that's bifurcating the truth of the Word of God, that says, okay, we're not to cause a person to fall into sin, we're not to cause a weaker brother to fall into sin, etc. But he goes on to say, this is not a warning for people that walk in grace. In other words, if you walk in grace, you're free to do anything you want to. You're free to sin to the limit. And that is simply what the Scripture says. Again, I go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, God forbid. That is, don't you dare even think of such a thing, that you can sin the more and let sin abound, because grace abounds even more. And he goes further. The people who walk in grace to be stifled because they're worried about legalistic Christian criticizing them.
Amen.
He is saying, this Christian here, this pastor is saying, that you ought not to be afraid because you're walking in grace and you can drink wine if you want to. You can participate in strong drink if you want to, but you don't need to do so and being afraid that some legalistic Christian.
Amen.
There are a lot of folks today listening to me, and you're just going to think, they're just legalists. No,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a legalist whatsoever. I just simply believe in the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is without error. It is without fault. It is without any dissension, and we ought not to try to debate what we can take out and what we can leave in.
Amen.
Pastor, I know our time is rapidly dissipating, but there are a lot of people also that will talk about the Lord Jesus and drinking wine and participating in drinking of wine in the celebration of this Passover meal, what we call the Last Supper. And
Amen.
We at the Last Supper, our celebration of the Lord's Supper, was instituted. I'm going to read, Pastor, just a couple of verses. In fact, let me get you to read it. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, verse 22, 23, 24, and 25. Read that for us quickly, then I'm going to comment to clear the air before we get into some very deep scriptures in relationship to what you should not do and what you should do in relationship to participating in alcoholic beverages.
Amen. So you want Mark 14,
Mark 14,
22?
Start with verse 22 through 25. Read that for us.
Amen. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it, and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
That verse 25, Pastor, is a fascinating verse, and it should squelch the question of whether or not Jesus drank alcoholic beverages. Verily, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine." And there's the word oinos, O-I-N-O-S. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen, oinos. It's translated wine, but it's grape juice.
Amen.
It literally says he's not going to participate anymore in that. Notice, until that day that I drink of it new. And it's talking about kainos, that is not nuos, but kainos in the Greek text. It is talking about quality, and is referring to when he celebrates the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, 8, and 9. Where the Lord Jesus Christ is celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb with every believer after the rapture of the church has taken place. He is going to drink it new. It's speaking of the quality of that time together, and it will be in the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
And it's the word oinos. It is not talking about sikar or yanin, and it's very important. And my wife said on one occasion, "Does that mean that we're talking about different things like this? Does that mean that a Christian ought to understand the Greek and the Hebrew?" No, but it needs to search deep enough in the Scripture not to go off believing some loose-likes, lost liberal standing in some pulpit or classroom someplace teaching that it's okay to drink, just don't get drunk.
Amen.
That is simply not what the Scripture is saying.
Amen.
So that is the deception that we see taking place. The dilemma is whether or not Jesus participated in alcoholic beverages. No, he did not. Absolutely not.
Amen.
But, Pastor, I want us to turn to a text that we'll do the balance of our broadcast on, and it's found in Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, and it's a text that I believe everybody needs to understand what the Scripture says about alcoholic beverages. Let me just do a little recap, Pastor, before we read those verses. In fact, if you would be ready, Pastor, to read Proverbs 23, verse 29 through verse 35 in just a moment. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at my brochure that I developed and published under the University Press a number of years ago, and it talks about alcoholic beverages, and it's the directive that's found in Scripture. In fact, I'm just going to hurriedly, Pastor, run down this list before we look at this in Proverbs 23. Number one, God's servants are not to drink, Leviticus 10, 8 through 11. Drinking is an attribute of disobedience, Deuteronomy 21, 20. The drinking man is smitten of God, 1 Samuel 25, 36 through 38. A man is killed while drunk in 1 Kings 16, 8 through 10. Perversion as a result of drinking, Esther chapter 1, verses 5 through 22. Drinking will deceive, Proverbs 20, verse 1. Drinking leads to poverty, Proverbs 21, 20, 17. Drinking leads to calamity, Proverbs 23, 29, and 30. God says not to even look at the strong drink, Proverbs 23, 21. Strong drink will poison you, Proverbs 23, 32. Strong drink perverts the mind, Proverbs 23, 33. Drinking leads to accidents, Proverbs 23, 34, and 35. Strong drink is habit-forming, Proverbs 23, 35. Strong drink is vanity, Ecclesiastes 2, 11, and 12, 8. National leaders bring blessings by not drinking, Ecclesiastes 10, 17. Drinking leads to woe, Isaiah 5, 11, and 12. Calamity is pronounced upon the drunkard, Isaiah 5, 22. Drinking reveals carnality, Isaiah 22:13. Drinking destroys leadership possibilities, Isaiah 28:7. Strong drink and sinful living go hand in hand, Hosea 4:10-11. It is evil to lead others to drink, Habakkuk 5:15. Drinking leads to shame, Habakkuk 2:16. Jesus warns against drinking, Luke 12:45. Drinking prevents you from being prepared for judgment, Luke 21:34. Believers are forbidden to keep company with drunkards, 1 Corinthians 5:11. You quoted that earlier.
Amen.
Master. Drinking will lead to hell, 1 Corinthians 6:10. You quoted that earlier.
Amen.
Drunkards will not go to heaven, Galatians 5:21. Hear that? Drunkards will not go to heaven.
Amen.
Galatians 5:21. Believers are commanded not to drink, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That
Amen.
Text says,
Amen.
Drunk with wine which is excess, that is debauchery. The Christian leaders are not to drink, 1 Timothy 3:3-8. Jesus turned the water into wine, oinos, literally fresh grape juice, not sikar, that is strong drink. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an overview of 30 of the 100 verses that's found in the scripture that says that as a Christian, as a God-fearer of the Old Testament, a Christian of the New Testament, you cannot participate in strong drink. Pastor, read those verses in Proverbs 23 for us, and then we're going to talk about them for the balance of the broadcast today.
Amen. Proverbs 23:29. Who have woe? That's trouble. Mm-hmm. Amen. Who have sorrow? Who have contentions? Who have babbling? Who have wounds without cause? Who have redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is probably the most profound, pointed unit of thought in all the Bible about alcoholic beverages. And now perhaps you can try to bifurcate it somehow and say that and apply to you. You're fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourself.
Amen.
The Bible is very, very clear. Over 100 passages of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, as Pastor Davis just read, who hath woe? That's the same word for catastrophe. Who hath sorrows? That's the same word for calamity. Who hath contentions? That is debate and arguments. Who hath babblings? That's confusion. Who hath wounds without cause? That's hurt and harm. Who hath redness of the eyes? That is talking about blacking. There are folks that will drink a little and black out. That's having bloodshot eyes and will black out because of the drinking. They that tarry long, listen, at the wine, yanin, sikar, they that go and seek after mixed drink. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very clear. Let me just go through this, Pastor, with what alcoholic beverages will cause in a person's life. First of all, it causes catastrophe.
Amen.
Catastrophe.
Amen. Amen.
You can pick up the newspaper any morning you want to. You can turn on television and watch the evening news on any channel you want to. And invariably, there'll be something about a calamity, an automobile accident, a collision that's taken the lives. And in each case, the one very recently where the illegal alien, illegal immigrant, whatever you want to call them, was in America, I've forgotten what city, he was driving a vehicle. He had had 16 bottles or cans of Bud Dummer or Miller Lowlife.
My, my.
16-ounce cans he admitted that he had consumed. He didn't even know he was in the world. He had no driver's license. He didn't have any authority to be on the road, hit an automobile, and killed a five-year-old child that was sitting in the back seat. He rammed the automobile from the rear end so heavily and so fast that it destroyed the back of the car and killed that child because he was drinking alcoholic beverages. It causes catastrophe. it causes calamity. Scripture says, who hath sorrows? That means calamity. It causes conflict. Who hath contentions? It causes arguments and debate. It causes confusion. Who hath babblings? The scripture says, that's confusion. It causes cuts and wounds. Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, yea, and in strong drink, they that go and seek after mixed wine. Ladies and gentlemen, notice further in that unit of thought. Look not, it's a command. It's in the imperative voice in the Hebrew text. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. That's when it is fermented, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. It's talking about fermented drink. It's not talking about now in this tense. Oinos, which is fresh grape juice that Jesus created in his first miracle in John chapter 2. It is not talking about oinos that Jesus participated in the celebration of the final Passover meal that we call the Lord's Supper. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about the fermented drink. And you can get a can of Bud Dummer, can of Miller Low Life, or a bottle of Jack Daniels, or whatever you might want to call it, or participate. It's all fermented.
Amen.
It's all alcoholic beverages.
Praise God.
And don't kid yourself. Don't in some way bifurcate the truth and say, well, God's word doesn't tell me thou shalt not drink. Ladies and gentlemen, we have sense enough as Christians that we ought to adhere to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It produces, ladies and gentlemen, pain. At last it biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. That is, it's poisonous, and it produces pain. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. It produces perversion.
Amen.
Pastor,
amen.
I would be willing to say that the overwhelming number of divorces and separations in families is a result of the man or the woman, the wife or the husband, being involved in perverseness of life as a result of bar hopping and drinking Miller Low Life and Bud Dummer, and it separates the family, it causes pain, it's poisonous, and it's perversion in the heart and the life.
Amen.
Further, ladies and gentlemen, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Perversion. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth in the midst of a sea, and he that lieth upon the top of a mast. It causes confusion and perplexity. They have stricken me, shall thou say. How many times you've seen somebody wake up from a drunkenness and say, I felt like I was dead, or I felt like I was wherever, whatever, and didn't even realize that it was because of his drunken, debauched condition. And it produces, it says, and when I awake, I shall seek it yet again. It produces addiction.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me close with this statement. A number of years ago, the story was told, a true story, of a man that had a son, and the police officers came to his door at 3 o'clock in the morning to let him know that his 16-year-old son had died from drunken driving. And the father stood there and says, who gave him that bottle? Who gave him that bottle? I'll kill him with my own hands. Who gave him that bottle? And as the police officers left, the man with broken heart walked back into his study. There his study cabinet was open, and the bottle of his favorite wine was missing. His son left a note there, Dad, I'm going to celebrate graduation, and I know you wouldn't mind. I've taken this bottle. It was the dad that placed it in the hands of the son that took his life. That's the end result of drinking Bud Dummer and Miller Low Life. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen. Be blessed.
Amen.
7 p.m. Wednesday Fellowship Meal Bible Study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.